And it reads, "Let love be genuine, hate what is evil, hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection, outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal, be ardent in spirit, serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope, be patient in suffering, persevere in prayer, contribute to the needs of the saints, extend hospitality to strangers. Bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another, do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are, do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought for what is notable in the sight of all. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peacefully with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord. No, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink, for by doing this you will heap burning coals on their heads. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. So I continue a sermon series based on the gifts of the Spirit. And remember not to confuse these with the fruits of the Spirit. A couple of years ago, I did preach on the fruits of the Spirit, the Christian qualities we must possess to become mature Christians, to have charity and joy and peace and patience and self-control and goodness and kindness. But this morning, I'm looking at the gifts of the Spirit. God gives each and every one of us unique gifts and special gifts specifically from the Holy Spirit that helps us do the ministry of the world. The seven gifts from the Spirit are prophecy, serving, teaching, exhortation, giving, leadership, and mercy. You might have one, you might have two, but you will not have all of them. We are all unique bodies of Christ who work together, who each have a different gift to share. Let us pray first. Loving and gracious God, I ask that the words of my mouth, the reflections on our hearts, be receptible and acceptable in your sight. For Lord, you are our creator, our redeemer, and our sustainer. Amen. So we are reminded in Romans 12, verses 6 to 8 by Paul in his letter to the Romans that the Holy Spirit gives each person unique gifts. There are seven gifts that we have. Verses 6 through 8 reads, "We have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, prophecy in proportion to faith, ministry or service in ministering, a teacher in teaching, the exhorter in exhortation, the giver in giving, in generosity the leader, in diligence, and compassionate person of mercy in cheerfulness." Each of these gifts is unique, and you might possess one or you might possess two, and throughout these next few weeks, we're going to look at the different gifts and see ways that you can discover what gift you have been given, what special gift the Spirit has given you to help enable to do the ministry of the church. If you are given the gift of prophecy, you truly know the Word of God, and you are able to proclaim it boldly. You build up the body of the church and talk to people about the forgiveness that God gives us, the love and mercy that is available. The gift of prophecy also often comes in preaching or teaching to others. If you have a gift or service or help, you have a special way to recognize the needs of the church, of the people, of the community. And you recognize the needs and you know how to help those needs as well, kind of like a great problem solver. And often people who have the gift of service do a lot of the work behind the scenes and aren't always getting the recognition, but they know that they are doing the Lord's work. If you have the gift of teaching, it's a person who loves instructing others and telling about the doctrines and truth of God. You do this by teaching Bible study, by faith sharing, or leading devotions. If you have the gift of exhortation, you possess the gift to help members become more involved and more enthusiastic. It's as if you're a cheerleader for the Lord and for the church, and you find ways to recognize gifts in other people and help them become more involved in the ministry of the church. You're often someone who teaches or leads projects. If you have the gift of giving, you are a member who gives freely and fully of yourself, of your time, of your service, of ways to help others give freely as well, of ways to motivate people to give to the church. And if you have the gift of leadership, you are able to lead and direct people of the church to help see what goals are needed and to accomplish those goals. You motivate people and you help unite people towards common goals. And if you have the gift of mercy, you show through cheerful acts of compassion the gifts of mercy that God has given to people. You aid people, you sympathize with people, you pray with people, and you look for people who are hurting and you show God's love to them. You help keep the body healthy and make sure all members are equally participating in the mission of the church. But you might wonder, I listed all these seven gifts and characteristics of them, that why are these gifts so important? We know why they were important in Paul's time. We know that during Paul's time and the early apostles, as a new Christian church was beginning, there was much happening. There was political unrest. Rulers and emperors were fighting over who would rule. Churches and synagogues were fighting of who would be the leaders and where the people would worship. People were killing each other. People were enslaving each other. And people were being targeted if they were Jews or Gentiles, born of certain classes. Things were happening during those times that needed the Holy Spirit to come, that needed the people to have the gifts to do the mission of the church. Now that was then, but what is happening now? Now our world has problems as well. There is still political unrest. We hear in the news of what's happening in Turkey. The country of Turkey has declared a state of emergency as a military coup is trying to take over the country. Educational institutions are closing down, hospitals aren't always the safe place to go, and people are fighting and rioting in the streets in Turkey. We hear that recently in Munich, Germany, a young man, age 18 years old, who has had depression and was bullied in school, recently lured people to a mall and shot people. The numbers are different, 8, 9, or 10 people have been killed so far, and even this young man shot himself. We know so far for preliminary reports that it is not an act of terrorism, but an act of a young, disturbed man who was depressed and who was bullied in school. We hear last week in Nice, France, a man who did as an act of terrorism drove a truck through a crowd and shot many, many people, killing so many people in his wake. We know in our own country that just this past week, a man in Florida, an African-American man who was a caregiver for a man with autism, was shot by a police officer because of a misunderstanding, they say. And then we also hear about the man, Alton Sterling, in Louisiana, who was shot outside a store, even after he'd been pinned down to the ground by the police. And we also hear the Pokemon Go craze. We must confess that even in the narthex before service, some of the young kids were showing me the Pokemon and the stop that is at our church. And I have seen many people walking around with their phones like this in Chinatown, then stopping, you know, looking up, doing something, and then walking on. Even in front of our church, I've seen many people. I'm tempted to put up a sign that says, yes, we are a Pokemon stop. But we are also a place of praise and worship. Maybe I'll put that up and see what results we get. But did you also hear that with this Pokemon game, there was 4 teenagers in Missouri who used one of the Pokemon stops? I guess when a lot of people go to a stop, it becomes a popular place and you get more points or something for if you go to that spot. So they created a hot spot to lure people playing the Pokemon game. And when the people went to this secluded park area in Missouri, these 4 teenagers robbed the people. They even had guns and they beat some of the people up who wouldn't at first give them their wallet or money. What is happening in our world? Is it not a world crisis? Do we not still have problems today? Maybe different names in different places and sometimes, yes, even different issues from the time of the apostles and Paul, but we still have problems in our world today. As fun turning a fun Pokemon game into a dangerous thing, or turning what would be political democracy into undemocracy and unrest. Our world has problems. And then you wonder, well, how do you fix these problems? Now, when you think about your home or your work, and if you have problems there, it's easy to fix problems. Let's try this. If you have a leak in your faucet at home, who do you call? swimmer. It's not hard. You guys know the answer. Phil and I are experiencing all these things as we just bought our new home. So you know who to call to fix the problem, a plumber. What about if the lights don't work in your house? Who do you call? Andy Louie. Okay. So you call Andy Louie or you call an electrician. Andy Louie will hopefully do it for free or for a good meal. But or what about if you have termites? You discover you have termites in your home. Who do you call? An exterminator. We know who to call when we have problems in our home. And what about at work? If you miss a payroll check, you can call the person on payroll to say, oh, I'm missing a paycheck. If you have an issue with a bad coworker, you know you can talk to your boss or the human resource person. Or if you have a computer problem, you would call the IT person or the computer guy or girl that's assigned to your office. Or you take it to the Mac store or to Best Buy or wherever you have the warranty for your computer. We know when we experience problems in home or work who to call or where to go to. We know how the problem can be solved. But what happens when we have problems in our church? What happens when we have problems in the community? What happens when we have problems in the world? Who do we call and who do we go to? The political structure can't fix this. The racial things can't always be fixed. Technology can't fix these problems. It's not a problem that can be solved so simply. But the answer is that the problem, if we recognize that the problems in this world are spiritual problems, then we know who we can go to. We recognize in this world that political unrest and violence against others and hurting others and destroying property, all of these are a source of spiritual problems. And when we know that these are spiritual problems, then we know who we can go to. It's not Andy Louie, the electrician, the wonderful electrician. It's not the IT person at work, or our boss, or our human resource person. But we go to God. We trust God. We obey God. We serve God. The wonderful Saturday VBS program is the ocean commotion, and they're learning about Noah and how Noah trusted God, how Noah served God, how Noah obeyed God. One of the first scripture passages that the young children learned during VBS was from 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13, that says, keep alert, stand firm in your faith, be courageous, be strong, let all that you do be done in love. The young children are learning to be courageous and be strong, and we must learn to be courageous and be strong, because the world does have a spiritual problem, and it is up to us and other Christians, our fellows, brothers and sisters, to help solve that spiritual problem, to be courageous and to be strong, but to know that we are not alone, and God does not just push us out into the world to help those problems, but God gives us these wonderful gifts given by the Holy Spirit. The gift of prophecy, of serving, of teaching, of exhortation, of giving, of leadership, and mercy, so that we can be strong and to go out into the world. To remember the words of Paul from this morning's passage from Romans 12, verse 9 to 13, to let love be genuine, to hate what is evil, to hold fast to what is good, to love one another with mutual affection, and outdo one another in showing honor, to not be lagging in zeal, but be ardent in spirit, to serve the Lord, to rejoice in hope, be patient in suffering, and persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and extend hospitality to strangers. We must hold fast to what is good, for God shows us what is good. Love and mercy and treating one another equally are all good things as we love one another. This is the wonderful vision of God, that we must love one another and to serve the Lord, to be the Lord's servant leader, and to contribute with our own spiritual gifts that we have, to contribute to the needs of the saints and extend hospitality to strangers, to use the spiritual gift of service if that is your gift. Remember that if you have the gift of service, you recognize the needs that are in the world and in the church, and you find ways to solve those needs, and you joyfully give of yourself, even if it means doing things behind the scenes. Now, here's the disclaimer. Sometimes we think, oh, well, I donated food to the food drive. You remember the wonderful food drive that Kathleen had for her Girl Scout project? And many of us, it was nice to see donated canned foods or pasta or dried goods. That's not you having the gift of service. You are participating in a service project. It is easy, very easy for us, for the wonderful United Methodist Women food sales, to buy their delicious baked goods. And you're helping the service project, but you are not saying, oh, well, I bought a plate of brownies, and I remember Lisa's long, wonderful Jell-O cheesecake pie, and oh, I had some delicious spaghetti. That is helping with service, but it does not mean that you have the gift of service. Having the gift of service is organizing those projects. Having the gift of service is saying there is this problem. We have to help women in this world. We have to help homeless people or people who are hungry. And then you lead a project. You motivate other people to participate. You are using the gifts that God gave you to be in service. That is a spiritual gift when you become the leader and you carry out a service project. Like that man that I talked about this morning in the children's time, he was using his gift of service that God gave him to help the people of his village to develop a cheap and expensive air conditioning unit that didn't need electricity. He was using the gift of service that God had given him. And it's wonderful to see that our own young adults, Alyssa in Japan and Phoebe in New Jersey, are in a way using a gift of service as well. For they are going out and being prophetic, which is a gift, and also being in service to the people of the communities where they are. Whether it's an urban community in New Jersey where Phoebe is, or the different places in Japan where Alyssa and her teammates will go. They are using the gift of service and have the gift of service. Using the gift of service is seeing where there are needs in the world and letting God lead you as you lead people to help serve the needs in this world. Not everyone has that gift of service, but I know that there are some of you that have that gift as well. And you might wonder then, well, how do I figure out if I don't have the gift of service, then what gift have I been given? Is it prophecy? I know there are many of you who've done a wonderful job standing up here and sharing your faith message. You might have the gift of prophecy, and you will be invited in future times to come and share a message as well. Is it the gift of teaching? We have many teachers in our congregation who teach children during the week or youth during the week and maybe want to teach at church on Sundays as well, to use that gift of teaching in such a way. Is it a gift of leadership? We have so many wonderful church leaders here that do so much for the church, that are silent leaders even, but wonderful leaders for the church. So during the next few weeks, we'll be doing some different exercises to see which gift most fully is present in you. This morning, when you leave worship, I will give you a piece of paper, and it's called Spiritual Growth, Discovering Your Spiritual Gift. And there's four different disciplines that you are invited to look at and practice doing one of the disciplines this week. The first discipline is to pray daily, and there's an example of a prayer guide you can use: adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication, the prayer called ACTS. There's also the prayer sheets that we used last Sunday in service, if you want to take one of those, if you want to commit to praying daily this week. Or you can commit to reading the Bible daily, to look at the Bible and ask certain questions. And there's even a suggestion of some Bible books of the Bible that you might want to read. The third option for a spiritual discipline for you to practice this week is service. Service to help someone, to ask God to give you the opportunities to help and serve others, to ask someone you know how they're doing and take time to listen. That is service. To put someone else's needs before your own, to act on something you learned from the Bible this week, or to share with someone what God has done for you and invite them to experience God too. That is service as well. And there's also the other things where cooking a meal for a neighbor, helping someone with chores, children, help your parents at home, that's service. And then there's also the fourth spiritual practice, to connect with other Christians, whether it's connecting today at church during fellowship time, or attending a Bible study during the week, or just being together in worship, we're connecting with each other. So when you leave, I will give you this sheet with the four different spiritual practices. You're encouraged to pick one of the four and do those daily practices throughout the week. When you come back, we'll discover which one you picked and if you liked it, if you didn't like it. But depending on which one you pick will help be an insight into which of the spiritual gifts are in you. So that's something that we'll continue to do as we look at spiritual gifts. But the thing to remember about spiritual gifts is that it is a gift from God. Now remember, I had asked a couple of months ago, I think, maybe Christmas time, to think about the greatest gift you received and where is that gift now? For me, one of the greatest gifts I received, as I shared as I think a 10-year-old, was my red-headed Cabbage Patch doll. You know, as a child of the 90s, those Cabbage Patch dolls were so popular, and I remember wanting it for Christmas and crying when my parents were saying, well, maybe Santa can't bring it to you. And my parents were trying and trying. They'd gone to the mall, they'd gone to shops, they had asked friends where they could get the doll, because I knew I had my heart set on it. And I did get it that Christmas, and I was so excited, and I was so happy, and I loved my little redhead doll. But then maybe if you were to ask me now where that gift is, I honestly don't know. It's probably in a box in my parents' garage, because I no longer want that gift. I no longer use that gift. I no longer have joy from that gift. Well, I might if I pull her out and have some fond memories. But we must know that this gift that God gives you, this spiritual gift that God gives you through the Holy Spirit, is a gift to be treasured, to always be wanted, to always be used, and to always give us joy. Whether it's the gift of teaching, the gift of preaching, the gift of service, the gift of giving, this gift must be something that you have and know is a gift from God through the Holy Spirit that you can use to do the ministry and mission of the church, and that you must never neglect or forget. And the final greatest gift that we must always remember is the gift of God's Son, Jesus Christ, for us, who died on the cross for our sins, who made our love and mercy available from God, available to us, so that we can go on and follow in the footsteps of Jesus Christ and show love and mercy to the world. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we are so thankful for the gifts of the Holy Spirit, for prophecy, for serving, for teaching, for exhortation, for giving, for leadership, for mercy. Guide us, God, these next few weeks to discover which gift is in us. The gift that we are given from the Holy Spirit to breathe life into the church, to continue to serve your world and your community, to solve that spiritual problem, the crisis that is happening in this world, as united as we are as brothers and sisters in Christ, to do your work, to worship and praise you always, now and forever. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Eva, for